So beginning now, Vad number 7, on Menuchas HaNefesh. I think there's a certain significance in the number 7. Like we know, Bo Shabbos, Bo Menucha. I think to a certain level, after 6 weeks of going through foundations of Menuchas HaNefesh, I think we could all say that we literally have tools, as they call it in our toolbox, that Bo Shabbos Bo Menucha, we have the ability now to actually use all our limudim. There's no end to how much more you could learn about Menuchas HaNefesh, but at least in a practical level, I think we should spend some time now going through practical challenges that we all have, very typical common situations, and we could actually use our tools and see how the different limudim that we had in Menuchas HaNefesh could actually change the quality of our lives. The first example I'd like to talk about is a very common situation where life is made up of decisions. And people very commonly regret a decision they made. We make decisions all day long, every day of our lives, and you always have to choose. It could be from the smallest decisions, like a guy going to Glopite for supper and he's picking what he wants to order. And while he's waiting there for them to make his food for 10 minutes, in his mind he's kicking himself, why'd I order that? Look at that food that just came out, and he could want the other food. So that type of regret on a decision can't be too destructive, hopefully. But a person suffers from the challenge of regret on decisions in much larger situations of life too. For example, even just deciding what you want to do this coming summer. People make decisions on a job they're going to take, or a place where they're going to go to a camp, or whatever they're planning on doing, and we're still a few weeks or months away from the summer, and a person, as time goes on, can start having regret and kicking himself, why did I decide to do that? And that's just a little larger than going to Glopite. But then this plays out even more serious. Rachmana Litzlan, I don't know if you know what's going on in the world of dating and all that, but just like the last week or two, you know how many engagements I heard were broken? Literally. People get engaged on a Monday, and all of a sudden Tuesday, hear the engagement's broken already. Or someone else I know, they got engaged on a Monday, and a week later, already the engagement was broken. And in divorces for sure, marriage is falling apart after a year or two. People, they make decisions. They decide to, let's say, get engaged to this person. And then they have regret on their decision. People in marriage, they decided to get married to the specific wife that they took. And after a year or two, they have regret. And they think to themselves, maybe it's the wrong decision. I chose the wrong person. And these are all common situations where people have regret on choices that they picked. Regret is not just a thought that I made a mistake in my choice, but it actually plays out as becoming a very painful feeling. A person starts feeling the pain of the regret that I did the wrong choice, and they start having tremendous painful feelings of blaming themselves, being very critical on themselves, depression, feeling hopeless. They feel very deprived of what life could have brought them if they would have picked that other job or spent their summer in a different way. A very painful feeling of feeling deprived. And there's a multitude of emotions that play out in people regretting their choices and decisions. So how do we go ahead and help ourselves when we come across such a situation in our lives, which is a very normal thought that after we make a choice, we start second-guessing ourselves and start regretting our choice that we picked and a decision that we made? So in truth, Reb Shaya Ostrov shared with us a story that's going on right now. Is a younger man in BMG who is hopefully being helped by Reb Ostrov. He's married for about 2 years and he has shalom bayis and he was Baruch Hashem zeichet a child, but he's literally suffering from a feeling of regret that he can't continue to live. Every day it's affecting him. He feels like he married the wrong person. He doesn't feel the excitement in his marriage, although he has shalom bayis with his wife. But he doesn't feel excitement, and he really thinks to himself, you know, the girl that I went out with 2 years ago, things could have turned out better. He went out a bunch of times with her and decided, whatever, it didn't work, decided not to continue. But now, he's thinking back to that, and it's really disturbing him. And you can imagine what a piece of garbage he feels like, because his wife doesn't even know what he's feeling, and his whole self-esteem and confidence and anything in life is all feeling like garbage, and he feels like a nothingness because he's suffering from this feeling of regret on a decision that he made, and he feels like he's deprived in something in life that he could have had a better life if it would have been differently, and it's literally eating him up. He sits down, let's say he's a younger man of BMG by his Gemara, and his thoughts, like we said last week, the woodpecker is pecking at his brain of these thoughts constantly, and he's literally suffering. So Reb Shaya Ostrov recommended him to, obviously, needs to learn the secrets of Menuchas HaNefesh, but he recommended this method of golden threads to help him out. And what I want to share with you is that this idea of golden threads is really going to help us in every situation of our own personal lives when we regret our decisions. In any type of scenario that we come across and we're second guessing ourselves, I chose the wrong thing, why did I make that decision? And we're beating ourselves up and we're feeling some pain and all that. How do we go ahead and help ourselves? We have to pull out this tool that we spoke about last week, which is the four mamorim that's on top of this paper of the margul of a pume that we need in our mouths. We need to go through and create for ourselves a new life narrative to reassemble ourselves in a proper way that we shouldn't be suffering in this state of feelings that we're having, which is a pizur hanefesh. We're definitely in a state, an unhealthy state of mind, suffering from these multitude of emotions that's killing us. So let's go through to understand how we can help ourselves whenever these type of situations come up. So number one, we say to ourselves, the first maimar, Hashem has given me a neshama that is always pure and always loved by Hashem, no matter what I've been through in life. Which means, we're reassembling ourselves and realizing, you are your neshama that Hashem loves you, and it's forever pure. You feel like garbage, but you're not garbage. You feel like you're hiding something from your wife, you're not happy with her, and all this garbage that the guy feels like, and his whole self is gone. He has zero confidence or self-esteem, and that's why he's suffering so much in the state that he's in. But in truth, if he repeats this line, that Hashem has given me a neshama that's pure and always loved, no matter what I've been through in life, he has to realize no different than Reb Chaim Kanievsky's neshama, or no different than Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the Mir Rosh Hashiva, all these beloved people, the Rabbeinu Shlomo loves me too, because who I really am, I am my neshama. And my neshama, l'kai neshama shenasata b'tahirahi, it's pure and beloved. And therefore you're reassembling yourself to separate, like we said last week. You separate yourself from your experience. And you're reassembling yourself properly, that one second. I am my neshama. That brings you to number two. I would not be in this situation if not that Hashem put me in this situation and He wants me to grow from this and get out of this. Which means, this guy thinks to himself, I'm married to this wife because I chose her. That's impossible. You don't do anything. You have a bechira in life, but the fact that you're married to her is Hashem's orchestration. Nothing goes on in life without Hashem. Mibaladecha, ein lonu melech goyel Mashiach. And like we say in the Animamims, how hu levadai osa va'ose v'yase l'chol ha'masim. You're married to her because Hashem gave her to you as a wife. Or this guy in his job for the summer. Although you went through Bechira and picked, but now that you signed up for that, you think it's your doing and your choice? You got it all wrong. You would not be in this situation if Hashem didn't put you in this situation. And therefore, the fact that you're having regret, it's all in the soyin that Hashem is sending you. He wants to see how you're going to grow from it. But not at all to think that things could have been differently with a different choice. You're in this not because of your choice. It's all Hashem who put you in it. And it's a big mistake that people don't realize and they make. Every choice you make, although you picked, but now, where you're holding today, after your decision, you're in it because Hashem placed you there. No such thing as thinking to yourself, I could have chose differently and things could have turned out differently. That's not true. That's absolutely contrary to the basic 13 animamims where you believe who levadai osa v'oise v'yasen l'chol hamasen. He does it all. You know, it's a great mashal you should remind yourself of. It's a famous mashal, but it's kedai to repeat it. There was a yid who waved down a taxi. It's happened in Eretz Yisrael. And he climbs into the taxi. He's sitting there. He has to go somewhere. And he notices the driver who's driving the taxi notices from the back seat that in the front seat on the passenger side there's a second steering wheel. And he couldn't imagine, why would a taxi have two steering wheels? On the passenger side too, there's a steering wheel? So strange. So after a little bit of the ride, he got the courage to ask the driver, now what's going on? Why do you have a steering wheel there? So he smiles and he says, you know, I usually babysit my child. My young kid, and he likes to drive. And obviously I can't have him driving my car. He likes to sit on my lap and all that, and I just can't. So I installed a fake steering wheel on the passenger side that my 8-year-old or 7-year-old, how old he was, he could sit there and think he's driving and play with the wheel. And obviously he's not really connected. He's not really driving. And it keeps him calm. It keeps him behaving, and it's just a great way. And this yid sitting there is thinking to himself, wow, what a message Hashem is sending me. Unbelievable. The Rebbeinu Shlomo, this guy was going through a hard time in his life. He climbed into this taxi and Hashem sent him a message. You think you drive and you make the calls in life? I install for you, Hashem says, a fake steering wheel. I'm really orchestrating everything. I'm turning the wheel here and pulling all the strings. It's all under Hashem's orchestration and He's driving your entire life. Hashem gives you a steering wheel, a fake steering wheel, just that you should have bechira in your life and choice. And this is the way Hashem set up the system. And you're busy turning your wheel thinking you're going somewhere on your own. You have to make the right decisions. Obviously, life is about bechira. But it's nothing more than that fake steering wheel that's not connected. And the Rabbeinu Shlom behind the scenes has the only real steering wheel connecting everything and orchestrating it all. And therefore, that's this second point that you're reminding yourself, I would not be in this situation if not for Hashem putting me in this situation. The Rabbeinu Shlom put me here exactly. This is my wife that I'm married to. This is where he sees my happiness. This is where he sees my success. The Rabbeinu Shlom put me here. The fact that a thought is coming in my mind, that I'm missing excitement, and if I would be married to that other girl, things could have been better. That's all on the soyan that Hashem is sending me to see how I overcome it and become a better person. But it's nothing in the reality of life. When you're experiencing life through the lens of the neshama, you see right through it and you see how empty it is. And the same thing with the job for the summer that you pick that you don't like, or the same thing for the food in Glopite that you're waiting for as they're making it, as if it would give you a bigger delight if you had a different food. All our regret and our decisions, with the lens of the neshama, you see right through it that it's nothing more than a nisayon, but it's nothing about reality. That brings you to the third maimer that you say to yourself. As you're reassembling your being, you're saying, I know Hashem loves me and will guide me to overcome this and achieve Menuchas HaNefesh. Which means this younger man, at the end of the day, he's suffering tremendous pain. He really feels in his marriage is something missing. And he doesn't realize, and he has to work on this, to realize it's nothing more than the soyan that Hashem is throwing his way. It's a fake feeling that if I would have been married to that other girl that I dated 2 years ago, I would have been happier. It's empty. And therefore, he has to have betochen. You know, Hashem, I know you're waiting to help me and get me through this. You're going to guide me to overcome this and achieve Menuchas HaNefesh and find happiness in my life with my wife that I married. Or the decision I'm making in my job or any other area in our life, we're regretting our decisions. And in truth, this is really a pasuk that you find by David HaMelech. In Perek Kuf Yud Tes, David HaMelech says, Ta'isi kise oived. I'm wandering and lost like a lost sheep. And the question is, why is David HaMelech comparing himself that he feels like a lost sheep? What's unique that he feels like a lost sheep more than any lost person? Why would David HaMelech express it like this? The Mitzudas David says something fascinating, and this verb could change your life. Zok the Mitzudas David, a sheep has no ability to find his master. When a sheep is lost, there's no brains, there's no calculations he could make, there's nothing he could do. The only hope the sheep has, and the only good news that there is for this sheep, is that he has a shepherd that's trying to find him. So he can't find the master, but the master's looking for him. David HaMelech said, he had this recognition, I feel lost. I feel so hopeless. I'm miyuyish. I give up. Like this yid, this younger man, let's say, in BMG, his confidence is totally in the ground. He has no self-esteem. He's really suffering. He's in a bore. He's in a deep pit of suffering, of regret and pain, feeling deprived and everything in life. He can't function. He's lost. But he's lost like a lost sheep. Even though he can't find himself his way out. The sheep has no way to find its way out. But the good news is this third Yesoi, this third Maimar. I know Hashem loves me and he's going to guide me to overcome this. My shepherd's looking for me. And he's going to find me and get me out of this. This is what David HaMelech himself said. We know, like we spoke about, David HaMelech had such a difficult life. He looked at life, David HaMelech. That I'm a lost sheep and my shepherd's looking for me. And my shepherd's going to find me. And therefore, that's specifically why David HaMelech described it as a lost sheep. And that's number three in the Ma'amarim, that a person who says this could realize, you know something? Hashem is waiting for me to stretch my arm out. He's looking for me. He wants me to go ahead and find him. And I don't have that ability, but if I rely on him and I do my part, like in everything in life, we got to do our part. I know the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to guide me to come back and find the gift of Menuchas HaNefesh. And number four, which is the last one of the Ma'amarim, is I'm committing myself to reach my tafkin and mission in life, to overcome this challenge, both for my Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Which means, like we spoke last week, and like I saw this beautiful saying, there's no elevator to success. You have to take the steps. Which means, it's a lot of work. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, when you go into a building, and it's 100 flights up, you go in the elevator, you press one button, and a minute later, they shoot you up there, 100 flights up. But in life, success has no elevator. You need to take the steps, step by step. That's the only way to do it. And it's hard work. The gift of Menuchas HaNefesh, a person suffering from regret and a decision, and he feels the pain of this situation, it's very difficult. It's a lot of work, step by step. You have to commit yourself that I'm ready to work on this. Like this young man that's suffering, it's taka going to be a big commitment that he has to make. That I'm ready to work in this day in, day out, to recreate my marriage, to reassemble himself as a healthy individual, to realize a whole new life narrative. It's a big job. But like the Alta from the Vardik says, your main growth is from your challenges. This is something he speaks about here, how when things are going easy and good, that's not where you're becoming great from. Yaakov Avinu, he quotes, Bikesh Yaakov Leisha Bishalva. He wanted tranquility. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made the Tzara of Yosef come about to him. And he had Tzara after Tzara. Because Zok the Alta from the Vardik, all greatness comes from Nisyonis, Ritzufois, Utekufois, Yisala Adam. Constant challenge, one after another, which specifically is this type of situation where you have psychological challenges. That's something that's pounding like a woodpecker on your brain. That's a constant disoyant that's being sent to you. That's specifically where you could reach tremendous greatness. And therefore, when a person's going through such a situation, he has to know how much more beloved he must be by Hashem that he's sending him this type of disoyant. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is trying to bring out from you something extra special more than other people. So anybody who has to ever use golden threads for a psychological challenge, and today we're specifically talking about this type of challenge of regret on a choice and a decision, which is very common, more common than you can imagine. When you're going to go through using golden threads to create a new life narrative, you should realize, and the motivation is, how beloved you must be by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that he's challenging you with this nisayon. And this is something you can emerge from greater than ever. I want to use this as a perfect example to bring out a message that Rishai Astrov said numerous times, how he told us, you know, the world of therapy that he's been practicing since 1971, he says it's so empty and nothingness compared to what he discovered the last 10 years or 15 years when he's been working on the Menuchas HaNefesh Yisoidis. It doesn't compare, he said. It said it's so effective, how powerful it brings out to heal all suffering of psychological challenges more than anything he's learned. This is a perfect example. What do I mean? If you go and look what they offer in the psychological world, let's say someone's suffering from a regret in his decision, what should they do? So you open up the psychology books. How do you heal this pain of feelings that I have of regret on my decisions I made. So let me tell you what they say, and then you'll hear how empty it is compared to Rav Shaya Astrov's offering in the foundations of the Menuchas HaNefesh. I quote, "Letting go of regret, that painful feeling, you must practice self-compassion to feel for yourself." It's not healthy to go ahead and just be in pain. So practice self-compassion and shift your focus to the present, because you cannot change the past. Actively transform that painful feeling into energy, into the present day action. This is the most effective way to break its hold on you. Now think about it. You're in a painful situation of regret. And what is psychology telling you? It's very sensible what they're telling you, but how fast could that work? You understand why a guy could be in therapy for 20 years trying to help his regret, and he's still just, all the thousands of dollars go down the toilet drain because he's still suffering. Why? Because what's he supposed to do? They're telling you to practice self-compassion and shift your focus to the present, the ability to go ahead and do action today instead of just being stuck on the past. Okay, but right now I'm suffering. I made the wrong choice in my marriage. What am I supposed to do? And they're not telling you what you should do. I picked the wrong job for the summer. I could have had a better summer if I would have picked the other job. What do I do now? I picked the wrong community to live in. I bought a house in Howell. I really should have bought in Jackson. What do I do now? And all these type of situations, when you have regret on real life situations, you could suffer for years and spend money for years in therapy and never get anywhere. What are you supposed to do with yourself? And you're eating yourself alive, and your confidence and esteem keeps going lower and lower because you feel like such garbage. And after you spend all those thousands of dollars, you feel even worse. But in the world of Menuchas HaNefesh, based on the foundation of Chaim Friedlander, writing yourself a new life narrative, going through these four mamorim that reassembles yourself in the right perspective of life as a yid, you have a whole new understanding how to look at this. You can understand very well why he says how effective it is, and how he sees with his own experience that he's taken in clients who were suffering for years, and he gives them these solutions, and they changed in no time. This is a perfect example where you see the success in the Menuchas HaNefesh principles that we're learning and foundations that we're internalizing, how it could really change our lives. I just end with one last story, which brings out this message. He brings down this maisa. Rabbi Yitzchok Berkowitz Shlita from Yerushalayim, Chashav Rav and Talmid Chacham. He said, I once asked him, where does love between a chassan and kala come from? There's a big confusion in the world. You go to BMG and you'll see why there's so many older people. People don't know and understand where Ava really comes from. And he asked this question to Rabbi Yitzchok Berkowitz. How do Chazal view the creation of love in a relationship? And he answered me, he said, it's quite simple. Look at the last bracha in Sheva Brachas. It says there clearly, it's quite clear that love is something that Hashem creates, and Hashem gives it as a gift between a chassan and kala. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam allows, when you do the right motions of bechira, that you could go ahead and have and feel a loving relationship. And therefore, like he said, for us, this is a major chiddush. We're brought up with all the stories of Hollywood and Broadway, and we think love is something magical that has to happen. All these ideas that come to our mind. And on that, Rabbi Yitzchok Berkowitz is teaching us it's not like that. The Rabbeinu Shalom created Ava. And a person who goes through the right motions of taking the right steps and making the right intellectual decisions in Bechira of choosing, a person can have a very happy marriage, a happy relationship. And Rahman al-Islam, all this regret that people have in who they got engaged to, who they got married to, and all the breakdown of relationships that's going on today, which is so sad, would be solved if people were healthier people and had a healthier state of Menuchas HaNefesh. And that's these Yisoides that we're learning, that Be'ezer Hashem, Baruch Hashem, we're going through all these different foundations, Be'ezer Hashem will all be Zeicha to Bo Shabbos, Bo Menuchah.